podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yes, 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 yes. Mind mastery strategy, big up yourself. As we start the show without my partner in crime, or my partner in legality, Babatunde Ajayi, but he starts with saying, dream it, believe it, become it. I say, come on down. Joining us today on The Fight Is Right, live, Isaac Dogbo, former WBO super bantamweight champion of the world. Isaac, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing excellent, Uncle Spence. How about you?
Listen, man, I'm surviving. All the better for speaking to you, my brother. All the better for speaking to you, Isaac. Isaac, there's been a lot going on in boxing, bro.
Yes.
There's been a lot going on in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we wanna know, because now you've moved up to featherweight.
Yep.
What is the crack? Late show 42, just say Niho.
Naho.
Look, mate, I'm Jamaican, mate. I don't know about these little African talk. So what's happening? What's the crack, man? Talk to us, man.
I mean, listen, right now it's all about, listen, I've been through it all, if you get what I mean. You know, I had a world title. I lost it. Gradually, I'm climbing back up. You know, I'm now back in the world title contention. You know, so yeah, I want all the big fights out there. You know, we've been chasing the big fights, so we're just waiting to see who's gonna you know, answer our call. That's what we are up to at this moment. Yeah.
All right, then. So like, how did this all start for you? 'Cause I remember you being at the Olympics at a really, really young age. Like, I remember watching you way back, and I did the commentary for this when I was working at Sky, when you won the ABA championships. Now, that's 10 years ago now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for real. Yeah, it is, you know? Oh, my goodness. Yes. Wow. You know what? Yeah, I actually haven't, like, thought about it, you know, but it actually has.
Yeah.
10 years.
So don't worry
about it. Yeah.
So
I mean,
What did that mean for you? Because you went to two Olympics, right?
One.
Sorry, you went to one. What was you, 17 years old or 18?
Yeah, 17.
17 years old.
Yeah.
7 years old. What did that mean to you for you to box in the Olympics 2012?
Listen, Uncle Spence, you know, I've always accredited my success in boxing, or my achievements in boxing, all to the glory of God, you know. Mm-hmm. Coming from that young age and being at that pinnacle of boxing, that's like a dream come true for many athletes at the amateur level. It meant a lot to me, and also to my community, you know, from South London. Though I represented Ghana at the Olympic Games, because that's where the opportunity came from. You know, it was great to be part of it, of the you know, of the Olympic experience. And I felt that, hey, listen. I think at the time I was in boxing for like 3 years. And within that 3 years of me boxing, I was in the Olympic Games. I just felt like, okay, maybe, you know what, I came earlier than my time. You know, but all goes to show that, you know, we put in the work, and, you know, God also just, you know, prevailed, just showed us the way. Yeah.
So, you turn pro.
Mm-hmm.
There's an Irish group that you turn pro with originally.
Yeah. I think the guy that signed me, he was from Ireland.
Yeah, Peters.
I think. Peters?
Yeah, I believe so. And then it didn't work out.
Yeah, I had my first pro fight in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And, you know, my second fight, I had it in Belfast. This was on the, it was a Carl Frampton promotion, Carl and McQuiggan's promotion, I think. Yeah, they put me on that show. Yeah, because at the time I was heavily involved in, you know, I was chief sparring partner for Carl, and they're like, hey, you know what? Let's see how this goes. And yeah, they just put me on their show and one of their shows, and that was it. We just took care of them there.
They moved from there, and you end up flying to America.
Yeah, eventually I got signed, and they kind of like relocated me to America. And
with Top Rank.
This was Top Rank was later on. I think Top Rank came on board around 2018. Yeah, Top Rank came on around 2018. And yeah, we just picked it up from there. Yeah.
Yeah, you had three fights with Top Rank, then the world title shot.
No, I was a world champion. You know, I think in our contract it was like, okay, when you beat the champion, then we'll have you for like what I think. I was mandated to fight like twice after.
Okay, because
the
reason why I thought you was with Top Rank then, because those fights that you had prior to fight for the world title, they were shown on ESPN.
Yeah, they were, because they were interested.
Yeah, so I thought you was with Top Rank.
They had shown an interest in me, so that's what I was told, that you know what, Top Rank have been looking at you, so you know what, just keep doing what you're doing. And you know, so we really actually like went hard. They put me on one of their shows in New Zealand, and yeah, that was I think that was Joseph Parker Bill in New Zealand, and I fought for the BBO, I think, international.
Okay. Title.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Then you know, from then on, I fought, I think, two more fights before the world title. Yeah.
What did it mean to you, right? I remember when you came to Sky after you won the world title, but what did it mean to you when you became world champion? Because we all think, man, that was what. 2018, right? Or
19? Yeah,
2018. Right. 2018. What did it mean to you? It was, what's his name? Magdalen. What did it mean to you when you beat him?
Well, I'm just, you know, that fight was really heated. You know, the build-up and everything was more or less like, you know, like something... if you think of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, you know, the build-up of that fight, that was how intense it was. Yeah, and at that time, you know, I think really and truly a lot was said in the build-up to the fight. And, yeah, I mean, listen, imagine you talk the talk, and then you go to the fight, and then in the first round, you get knocked down. It was like, okay. It was crazy because everyone was thinking that, oh, yeah, this kid was talking too much. He was talking a lot. And now he's with the big boys now. So, you know, really going through the adversity, having been knocked down for the first time in my pro career, and getting back up and also putting him down and eventually going on to stopping him. That was like, you know, it felt like a scene from a movie, you know. It felt great, and all the same, it's like I went out there to represent myself, you know, to show that, listen, I wasn't here just to make the numbers, you know, rather I was here you know, to actually make a good account of myself. I was here to take it, you know, to take the title. And God being so great, yeah, I did that when we went out there and we took the title. And, yeah, the rest was history. And, yeah.
Then you move on and unfortunately lose your title in your first defense.
Second defense.
Second defense, sorry. Yeah. Your second defense.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get a rematch. Navarrete, you get a rematch.
Lost again.
And then you lose again.
Yep.
I'm not making excuses for the loss or anything else like that. Was weight a factor in that fight?
You know, I was a featherweight. You know, I was campaigning at featherweight. All the titles I had won, all the WBO, Africa, International, Latino, all of them ones, they were all at featherweight. But then when the opportunity
came... Sorry, Isaac, what weight did you box at as an amateur?
I think it was 57.
So you're boxing at feather as an amateur?
Yeah, as an amateur, even at the Olympic Games.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, when I was ranked in the top 10, I think top 5, and the opportunity came to move down weight to fight for the 122 title for the WBO International, because I was told that, you know, that was the quickest route to fighting for world title. So we said, well, you know, we weighed the risks and compared it to the rewards. So then we just said, you know what, yeah, we'll take it. So that was when I moved down to 122 to fight in New Zealand. I challenged the Argentinian champion, I think. He was a Latino champion or something. He fought for the WBO International. So the plan was to, you know, eventually we win a world title, defend it once, or just we win and then we just move up to the, you know, we leave it. And then that would make us mandatory to the champion at 126. But, you know, it didn't happen that way. But listen, I'm not a man to make an excuse, Uncle Spence. Mm-hmm. He beat me. He was a better man in both fights, you know. Though weight was a factor, but the man beat me. So I would take that and say that, you know what, he did beat me. And now the most important thing is, you know, the next step forward.
And what is the next step forward? Because you moved up in weight. And as you moved up in weight, Navarrete now is now the WBO featherweight champion.
Yes. You know, so right now we're gunning for a third fight. You know, trilogies have always been exciting. And I know many people will be like, hey, listen, you had two chances to beat this guy. You didn't. So what makes you think that you can beat him in a third fight? You know, okay. people have to understand that Pacquiao and Marquez fought so many times, you know. But eventually, at the last hour, Marquez stopped Pacquiao. Who knows what was to happen? It's a boxing fight. You know, the losses that was handed to me taught me so much that I had to change my camp completely. You know, so that's a factor. I've matured into a man. I've matured into the weight, you know, mentally and physically. I've become more mature. So I believe that when we do face again, you know, face up again, it will be a different story. That I believe completely, you know, because I'm not one to come there just to make numbers. When I come to fight.
Okay.
You know, if it doesn't go my way, I accept and say that, yo, this man beat me. All the best to him. I'm going to come back again. That's the most important thing. You know, that's what I'm all about.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, right now I'm in position again. I think I'm ranked number one in the BBO. Again, so it's Navarrete or Josh Warrington, or Lee Wood, or Leo Santa Cruz. You know, these are the fights I'm looking for right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what it is. That's what it
Well,
is.
Bobby Wright has just said, Even Spence, Gary, what was it like to achieve world honors at a young age? Does it put more pressure on yourself? And that's from our guy, Bobby Wright. Bobby Wright's a big supporter of the show, so big up Bobby Wright. So when you won the world title, was it more pressure on you because you were so young?
I think, you know what? Sometimes they say that maybe the crown was too big for my head at the time. You know, that's why I'm talking about maturity. There were a lot going on. Like, the pressure was a lot. But all the same, you have to understand that, you know, going into a fight and you have a country behind you. You know, and all expectations and everything else and stuff like that. Sometimes it goes both ways. It's
Okay.
about how you are able to control, how you're able to control it. You know, I've
You said it was
done.
you said it was a lot of pressure. What kind of lot of things were you going through? Like, would you like to elaborate? Just tell me, man. Come, man. You're talking to me, man. Come. What was you going through?
I would say, like, no, I would say that, okay. Having to like how do I put it? Expectations.
Yep.
Expectations. You know, obviously we took the route of going through Ghana. You know? And we thought, you know what, let's go to Ghana. Let's, you know, kinda like go through that avenue. And by doing so, let us change the scenery of the boxing in Ghana, because at the time, I think the last world champion was, I think, Joseph Agbeko, who fought, I think who he fought, yeah, like probably like 10, 15 years or something like that, you know. So it was more or less like, okay, this is the new kid on the block, you know. This guy is smashing
Beko, he
people,
lost
going.
to Romero, Danny Romero.
No, for his war title, the war
Oh,
title.
world title fight.
Yeah. You know, this is the new kid on the block, and now you have so many people, a lot of affluent people following you who were not actually following boxing before. So now you have this young guy who is now changing, who has gotten everybody on their feet. Whenever I'm fighting in Ghana, people come in their numbers. You have so many affluent people come trooping to the stadium and everything else, you know. But that was both ways. It was more or less like, okay, it's a motivation, you know, knowing that, hey, we have been able to achieve this. We have brought people from the comforts of their homes. We are changing the narrative of our boxing in Ghana, you know. So the next step forward. Okay, I'm stopping everybody they put in front of me. You know, so after a while, you'd be like, okay, you might listen, this guy might be unstoppable. If you're a fighter, you feel like that sometimes. Because if you keep on knocking everyone, I knocked out the world champion, what, three fights or four fights before, four fights. I knocked out that guy before the Juarez, I knocked him out. I knocked out the world champion. I knocked out my first defense, you know. So all these people, I feel like four, five fights. I stopped all of them till my second defense. So now you think to yourself, like, raw, okay, this one is just going to be another walk in the park, you know. But then, hey, like I said, it's boxing. You never know what's going to happen in the future. I go there and I lost, you know. And you start to think to yourself, oh shoot, like what's going on? What happened? All right, let's go again, second time. Again, and I lose again. And you start to really think to yourself, like, God damn, what's really going on? You know, so you know what I mean, Uncle Spence. But I mean, like I said, it's all part of the experience, you know.
Yeah, Country
Sometimes.
Dog just asked a question. He's saying, where did Isaac train in Ghana?
I used to train in the house, you know. Obviously, Bukom has a big name, But I had a private place at my grandfather's place that my father had, prepared. So that's where we used to train. Obviously, I was working with my father at the time. So we had our own private place that we used to work up.
Okay. And who are you working with now, Isaac?
Now I'm with Barry Hunter.
Oh, you were Barry Hunter, yeah? Because I remember ages ago, like, you did a brief stint at Freddie Roach's gym.
Yeah.
But I know Barry. Barry's a very good trainer.
Yes, sir.
Very, very good trainer. I remember I met Barry years ago when he worked with Lamont Peterson. When Lamont Peterson defeated Amir Khan, then they came over here. They met to have a second fight. And that's when I met Barry Hunter. So we're talking a long time ago now. I'm like, 10, 11 years ago. So, yeah. But I spoke to him recently because he was with Kenny Porter. And Kenny Foreman was talking and, like, it was on the FaceTime. And then Barry Hunter was there. Barry's good people. What's Barry adding different to the style of how you're fighting now?
Well, it's just more or less like, hey, listen. You don't always have to go in a fight thinking that you're going to knock everybody out. You know, the most important thing is you have to think more. Well, he tells me that, listen, I don't want to take the dog out of you. I want you to have it in you. But all the same time, I want you to think a little bit more. You know, I want you to actually enjoy the art of boxing. You know, rather than thinking that every punch that you throw has to, you know, knock a man out. You know, so that's really like the sort of thing that we are working on.
Sorry, attention. I want to know, Tundi's might be on vacation right now. So I don't know why this little black shiny face boy is trying to come on the show. We can't hear you, Tundi. Tundi, your mic's muted.
Before I start, let me just say, dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on down, but you're late.
I tell you what, I'm not even supposed to be. I'm in camp, but I tell you why I come on. Because I see your little dry face, and you look like you look like you're dropping off, fam. Because I know you're fasting, so I'm like, bro, I need to save my brother. I'm saying I have to save him because Isaac, the Lion of Zion. And in case the fans didn't know, this is Isaac, the Zion Dogbo. Because a lot of people don't know that. They don't know the middle name. And the middle name has meaning. The Lion.
That's a special name.
Tell them. They don't know, but I'm here.
People very closest to me address me as Zion.
Zion. You didn't know that, Spence. I said, yeah. But good evening. Very nice to see you. Listen, I'm literally on lockdown. But as I said, I saw you on, I was just eating and I said, Isaac's there, and it's always a pleasure and an honor to see you because you've achieved so much at such a young age. You know, I remember 2013 ABA champion at lightweight. I remember you was also an Olympian 2012 Olympics in London. A lot of people don't know these facts, but you know, and so for you to achieve so much, you know, I got to give credit to your father as well, Paul. You know, Mr. Paul Dogbo. I don't know. I would just call him my brother because, you know, we are in Africa. The respect has to be there. We can't be calling people by first name. So my brother, Paul Dogbo, your father, and it's great to see you. It's great to see you, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of your story this evening. But that's my little introduction. Spencer looks like he's been smoking weed. Because, you know, his eyes are ready to slip off.
So
I'm like, bro, let me just jump on and
no,
say
stay, one. Stay. Don't stay, Tun. All right,
cool. All right,
stay
listen,
on the thing, bro. But right, jump on. Stay on the thing.
Let me stay on for a little bit. And here was going on.
Only to the fact of me saying consistency. When you were saying, this week, because Tony was in camera and the yard, was thinking that I was going to fight on the the Dillian Whyte Tyson Fury card. That's right. I said it correctly, right? And it's not happening because he's going to get the world title shot now. So Tundi said, oh, I'm going to go on a little break. So I said, Tundi, you coming on the team? Tundi's like, nah. I'm still in vacation. I said, Tundi, I need the energy. So usually we start a couple of hours earlier. And by chance, Isaac sent me a message. And I said, oh, my word, I never got back to him. So I went back, go back to Isaac. I said, Isaac, why don't you just jump on the show? Because I'm so, right, bruv, sleep is burning me, you know? I'm not even lying.
Don't worry, so, I'll come to give you the energy. Yeah, I'm here.
I can start cutting you with your little black shaggy face. But what right. Isaac, but yeah.
Where are you fighting next?
Yeah, right now, God willing, in the summer. You know, that's what I've been told.
Is that so, still with Top Rank?
Yeah, with Top Rank, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How have Top Rank treated you? You know, it's great. I mean, they seem to be behind you. You know, some promoters, you know, especially when you lose a world title,
they fling you away.
They get rid of you. But, you know, they've seemed to back you. And how has your relationship been with them and Bob Arum?
You know, Top Rank have been, they've been great. You know, I can't complain. I have nothing ill to say of them, but only good things. You know, they've been like, they've been superb. Really and truly, yeah. That's all I can say. They've been amazing.
What's the training situation now? Are you still training with your father or your? Because I know I see you in a. Is it?
No,
is it
Barry Hunter now.
Huh?
He's with Barry Hunter now.
Barry Hunter, yeah, that's the headbanger gym, right?
Yeah.
That's good. And
headbangers, yeah.
I mean, I'm not being rude or intrusive, but. What's the relationship is in terms of how far is like with your father? Is it just he's just your dad now and he's just taken that role, or is he still involved in the camp or what have you?
He's just my father now.
Good.
You know, we just it's more or less like okay, now the boxing business should be handled separately from family life.
Yes,
you know, and I believe that makes it a little bit. You know, strengthen the family's relationship a little bit better. So, so, I mean, Barry Hunter and the rest of the team, Patrice Harris, these guys have been amazing. And, you know, I work in conjunction with some other people in Ghana as well. So, okay. I mean, they've always been amazing. They gave me that sort of like, you know what, hey, that sort of like a father figure, role model sort of, relationship, which is equally important when it comes to the fighting business. Yeah, because I will say one thing to you. You guys are already involved. You know what the boxing business is like. You know, fighters can be, they can appear very mean and whatever. But I tell people all the time, they can be the most softest people that you ever come across.
Absolutely.
But hey. It's just one of those things, you know, that we just keep that relationship going and, just do it up.
A lot of people don't realize, you know, it's always going to be difficult. Father-son relationships in boxing, you know, there's more cases of them not working than there are working because, you know, a father always, you know, that's your son, that's your child. You understand? So even the way you talk to your son is not the way you would talk to another fighter because, you know, the father's like, no, we must do it this way. We must do it this way. And then the child is growing up, you know.
And not only that, if we look historically, we look, the history of boxing shows you that the father and son relationships don't really work.
Yes, as I said, right? Yes.
We could go like, Kenny Porter, Sean Porter, it worked.
Yes.
Joe Kawasaki, Enzo Kawasaki, it worked.
Yes.
But then we could go down a long list of the ones that it didn't work with. And I mean a long list. And like I'll say there are some notable ones. You know what I mean? Howell Davis, that guy, 1997 Olympics won the Val Barker Trophy. The Val Barker Trophy, as Isaac knows, with the boxing Olympics, that means you're the most standout boxer of the Olympic Games. This is at a time in the 76 Olympics where you had Sugar Ray Leonard, you had the Spinks brothers. This man won that. He turned pro and came over here And he got mad money when he turned pro as well. I think he got like $1 million sign-on fee. Yeah. When his dad was training him, right? Yes. And then he went on, fought, he was unbeaten at the time as well. He fought Jim Watt, our Jim Watt, Scottish Jim Watt, in 1980, and came up second best because that relationship didn't work. You know what I mean? Someone just put on a late show. Yeah, famously, Roy Jones Jr., Roy Jones Sr. did not work. So usually we see it, and that's not knocking on your dad because I know the work that your dad has put in. Your dad's put in some mad work on you, right? But sometimes, and I have to commend your dad, sometimes you got to say, you know what? I've taken my son so far, and he's become a world champion, and he's lost his world title. Then maybe it's time for us to bring it up. And like, I rate that because usually what will happen is the father and son, they don't talk to each other for 2-3 years. You know what I mean? They're not eating no, you know what I mean? You mean they're not eating no more Gary and jollof rice together? They're not.
No. This is Ghana boy.
Ghanaians eat Gary.
Ghana jollof. Ghana jollof.
Let's not start the debate.
No, we have to start the debate.
There is no debate.
Here we go again.
Every time we talk about Nigeria, man.
So every time we talk about jollof, some Ghana boy has to jump up with a dry Ghana jollof rice. It's not as good as Nigeria.
Hold on.
Let's not go into the World Cup.
Right there. Listen, this is a pen right here. Yeah, it's done. Let's not go there.
We're gonna leave that conversation.
We're gonna stay on this conversation.
I bet both.
I bet Nigerian jollof and Ghana jollof. Yeah. The best jollof rice that I have ever eaten didn't come from none of you lot's countries.
Here we go. He's going to go into the historical fact of where jollof rice
comes from. Well, I could do because you know where jollof originally comes from, the Gambia, right? You know where it comes from, Spence.
But no one ain't talking. You can't go in no barbershop, anyone talking about jollof rice. They're talking about Niger or Ghana. That's it. Forget about Gambia jollof rice.
Listen, I'm going to be real. I want man to listen to me here. Yeah, country's mother, country's dad was Ghanaian, but country's mum was from Sierra Leone.
Yes,
and everybody would eat a jollof rice. Ghanaians, Nigerians, and they've got it was the best. God rest her soul in paradise, country. I have to big up your mum for that. Her jollof was vicious, and I remember, I'm biased because my parents are Jamaican. You know what I mean? That's it.
No jollof rice then.
I can't cook it.
Just stick to your curry goat and rice.
Tundi can't cook jollof rice. I know that for a fact that Tundi can't cook jollof rice. You know what I mean? Right, Tundi's so terrible at cooking, he can burn hot water to rot it.
Isaac, you see where I'm coming? You see why Spencer needs me? This is why Spencer needs me.
Yeah. Listen, I'm still tired, but I have to go on. But country knows, you have to get the funds up.
Anyway, listen. As you were saying, I remember there was talk once because you're a featherweight now. You're not super bantam. You're featherweight, right?
Featherweight.
Yeah.
So I remember a while back, maybe when you took a little break, there was talk that you was gonna fight Carl Frampton.
Yeah,
I remember that. Mm-hmm. What happened there? The fight never materialized. I remember there was a lot of talk about.
It was a fight that was thrown to me at the table, and we said, yeah, why not? Yeah, we'll take it, you know? Listen, Carl Frampton has been great to me. You know, he gave me my first, like, experience, you know, sort of, like, fighting or working with, like, a professional, like, an absolute
professional. So, Ben Oldham has said, Ghana jollof, hands down.
And he has actually put 100 naira to tell us that Ghana Jollof is better than Niger Jollof.
No, big up Ben Odom.
All right, all right. Well, listen, if for £100, you can keep saying Ghana, Ghana.
Well, let's see if any Nigerian listeners are going to beat that. Let's see how that goes.
Ben Odom, all this time I thought you was a Nigerian. Now you've confirmed to us that you're a Ghana man. All right, cool. Say that. It's all love. It's all love. But I'll be honest with you, for £100, let's say Ghana Jollof is the best. Put another £100. Carl Frampton was really good to
me. Yeah, he's been very, very good to me. Listen, he gave me, like, you know, my first-hand experience of working with a pro. And I remember keenly where, you know, it was me and other people. And at the time, I think I was even, like, they picked me up from college. I was still in college. And then they were like, okay. I think there were like three fighters, but all these guys were pros, and I was the only kind of person like about to turn over. You know, I was still an amateur. And then the other guys did not come back, and they were like, okay, all the guys that they bring for Carl Frampton to fight, to spar with, they keep on like, they're not coming back. So every time they call me, I'll be like, okay, let's come. I'm always there. My father will pick me up from college, you know, to go and spar him. Like the times that I have like a longer free period, longer break, yes. Like lunch break that runs into free period. So wow. He'll pick me up from college. I'll go spar him and then take me back to college to finish the day off before going back home. So that's how we used to do it. So eventually, like, they were like, hey, listen. So that's how they put me on one of their shows when I turned pro. Put me on one of their shows and everything else. So when the fight was given to us, I was like, yeah, we'll take the fight. You know, more than happy to take the fight. I don't have no problem with it. But I really don't know why the fight didn't materialize. I think at the time he had lost to Santa Cruz the second time. I think, you know, and
he's on his comeback with BT, and that's when the fight was proposed.
So I really don't know what the reason why it didn't materialize. You know, we're like, yeah, we'll take it. I mean, he's someone that I'm very familiar with. Yes. He's also very familiar with me, and I thought it would have been a great fight, you know, but
there was also a fight that was proposed for you versus Michael Conlan.
Yeah. That was another fight that was proposed for me, but eventually, you know, after all the talks, he also ended up saying that he had his foot was broken or sprained, ankle.
Everybody, it's like Isaac. You know, like Monday morning, all the employers get a call from the employee that they're sick. they're sick. I've got a bit of flu. I can't come in. That's what it's like when they know they have to fight Isaac Dogbo. But what's your take on the current featherweight world titleist? I know we have Lee Wood now. You know, Josh Warrington also just reclaimed his,
IBF world featherweight.
IBF world title. Yeah. So, I mean, you got to be chomping at the bit to get him in the mix with these guys.
Well, you see, that's the thing. Every time I've asked for a fight, it's always been like, okay, this person has a mandatory. And I think...
Hey! Hold them. Shinnike.
Listen, I told you, when I come... You see, when I come, the money will flow. When I come, the money will flow. Big up Ben Odom. He says, before any Nigerian man has any ideas on commenting on Ghanaian jollof rice, try Gold Coast Restaurant South Norwood. And stop right there, Ben Odom. Do you know that Gold Coast is a place that I took my young son every Sunday after football, frequently, okay, until they change it, until right. I start seeing different kind of people serving the food. I'm like, no, I'm not coming here no more. Because this must be Ghanaian food. I'm seeing all different people serving up my food. But Gold Coast Restaurant is... It's a highlight spot.
I went Gold Coast the other day because it's not far from my house. It's only on Portland Road, South Norwood. Big up, massive big up to Gold Coast. But I went there the other day, some Chinese man tried to give you jollof rice.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. So, bro, I went there, some Albanian man is giving me my food. Not a Polish man, Chinese man. Asian man, I'm sitting on a Mr. Ghanaian shop. You can't go. You imagine going to a Chinese restaurant and Nigerian man start serving you. Bro, oh my goodness, only African people can do this. Only African people can. Bro, you can't go to an Indian restaurant and a Nigerian man is serving you. It's not possible. A Ghanaian man is possible. He's serving you. It's just not possible. Only African can do this. Only. So when I went in there, and I'm saying the portions is not like how they used to be. I'm sorry, Gold Coast, but it's not how it used to be. It's not,
I remember back in the day when me you and Otto used to go.
Wait there. Man said Florian Mark who was selling us. Florian Mark who was selling us the guy that Florian Mark who was in Gold Coast selling us food.
And put the had a little hat on as well. The other little hats too.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, all right, sorry.
Nah, I'm just keeping, like I said already, Country Don's mom made the best jollof rice, as far as I'm concerned. Because one thing Tony could tell you about me is that I can eat food, bruv. I eat food. And I'm not, and next thing, this is how I tell you Tundi's well versed. Tundi was the one that got me into properly eating oxtail, you know? But when my mom used to call oxtail, Tundi, I used to think oxen's tail as a you. I'm British, mate. I don't want to eat this foolishness. But I was like, eat it, it's good for you. I didn't want to eat it, sir. It was Tundi that got me into it because I remember, like, when we was training, I'd pick up Tundi. And we go to the restaurant. Tundi was always, oxtail rice, but enough gravy on the rice. And I start, Ben ain't playing out here, you know? Wow. Mm. I left South London 8 years ago. And now I'm hearing Gold Coast has turned into the UN.
I'm telling you. Gold Coast is not like I used to be, but it's definitely not how like I used to be. It's just not. But anyway, back to the boxing. As I was saying, you know, with Lee Wood, what's the situation in terms of your current standings with the governing bodies and Are you anywhere in the top 10? Because I haven't
looked in the rankings. All across board, I'm in the top 10.
It's top five. He's number one for the WBO.
Yeah, number one for the BBO. And I think number seven or something for the BBC or the VB or IBF. So one of them. But I know that I'm ranked across.
All across the board. So then it's very important that you stay ready, you know, because, you know, listen, one of these big fights can drop out and, you know, they have to work their way down the list. So, you know, if you can't get yourself, well, you're already number one in the WBO. But, you know, listen, I don't need to tell you, you've been in this for a long time. You've been a champion for a long time. But, you know, stay ready. God works in mysterious ways and, let's hope that, you know, one of these guys will let you in the door. There's obviously a reason why. I think the main thing is that you have is on your side is time. You know, you're still very young. And, you know, we only get bigger and better. The biggest room is the
uncle,
room
for uncle. Everybody keeps saying that you're only young. Uncle, I'm almost 30, you know. That's not young.
No. Uncle. Let me tell you something. The reason why, if you notice, the people that say you're young are always old.
True.
The people that say you're young are always old. Because they remember, and I'll tell you why, they remember what it was like to be 25, to be 27. And as the years roll by, you realize that you were actually young. Because, you know, at the age you are now, you probably, maybe not, yeah, I know you've been brought up very well, but, you know, you think you know everything. And physically, you think that you may be in your prime, but you grow in different areas. And that's why someone like Spencer and myself can say you're still very young, you know, and you look at you, you're very coherent. You're still a good looking young man. You don't have your nose is not on your cheek. Your ears are not round the side. So you're young. So you just need to keep sharp, keep moving your head, keep slipping and sliding and stay sharp, you know, and God willing, you'll get your shot.
Yeah. I mean, honestly speaking, I honestly thought, that Conlon was going to beat Lee Wood. I'm not going to lie. And that's what I thought, you know, personally, when that fight was announced, I was like,
okay. Loads of people thought the same thing as you.
You know, I thought, okay, he has gotten like the easy guy in the division, you know, amongst the champions. So him getting knocked out in that fashion, I was like, this guy, are you really serious? Mm. You know, then looking back, Lee Woods on paper isn't a knockout artist, you know, on paper.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. And you want to talk about getting in the ring with me, I want to talk about chat rubbish, you know. I don't know, for some reason, I think he blocked me on Twitter or Instagram, you know, Conlon. When that fight was introduced to me, and I was like, okay. So when the news came out that, okay, we're going to fight, I don't know what I said that annoying him or whatever, but he blocked me on Instagram or something like that. I was like,
Lee Wood?
Conlon.
No, Conlon, yeah.
Conlon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe he shouldn't have blocked you because he don't know how the Juju powers can work.
I couldn't stop that, man.
You don't mess with Ghana, man, when it comes to this thing here, because they were just...
Please.
Bro, he should have never blocked you. It would have been better if he just kept his mouth shut and just carry on. But listen, at the end of the day, you reap what you sow. I'm a firm believer of that. And I just feel that, you know, as I say, you've tasted success and you've tasted heights and achievements that so many professionals, whether young or old, have still yet to, you know, feel. And so for you, how does the hunger remain? Does the hunger still remain for you to achieve, you know, heights in this sport? What's it like? What's your hunger level like? Are you still, you know, you still want to achieve?
Of course. I mean, listen, boxing isn't like how it used to before, where you see a tough man or a tough guy, someone that supposedly is a tough guy, be like, hey, I want to fight this person. And then you call the person out and then put one, two, and three together, and then the fight is made. It's not like that no more. Now, you have to go through that bureaucracy, you know, on that level. So it's just like, hey, with me, I just have to focus on what I do. My job role is to fight. You know, the rest of it, I leave it in the hands of the people who deals with the bureaucracy to deal with those things. You know, all I want is you tell me a date, tell me where, tell me who, and you see me there. That's all it is.
Well, if you feel that's the case, don't you feel that there could be a case for saying that maybe you have to be a bit vocal? You know, because, listen, I remember this kid, Rolly Romero. This kid is fighting Javonte. I remember taking O'Hara and Otu to the gym. And O'Hara and Otu, as young as he was dealing with him. And O'Hara stopped Romeo. Mm. He stopped him inspiring. O'Hara, when I reminded him the other day, he's like, oh yeah, I forgot that I stopped him inspiring. Mm. But what I'm saying, that doesn't really take away from the fact that he can fight because, you know, he's got an interim belt. But I would say his outward persona has more got him the fight than anything.
And but see, when you think about it, uncle, listen.
Yes.
When I am very vocal, I still don't get the fight. Anyway, you know, it's like, how many times am I going to be chasing after these world champions? And how is it always that they always going to avoid me? You know? So it's always that thing. Listen, when after my last fight, you know, I was like, hey, listen, these are the people I want. Yeah. I want Santa Cruz. Maxayo just won the WBC title. I was like, yo, I want Maxayo. I want Lee Wood. Or Lee Wood and Conor were coming to fight. I was like, yo, I want the winner of these guys. You know, I want Lee Wood. Kiko Martinez had the title. He was coming to fight Josh Warrington. I was like, okay, give me the winner out of these two. Yeah, I made a phone call. I was like, yo, these are what I want. And then it's always like, okay, this person might invoke his rights to fight Lee Wood, Santa Cruz. Now that fight has been announced.
Yes.
Warrington has a mandatory, so he has to go through his mandatory. You know, Maxayo has a mandatory, he has to go through his mandatory. You know, so now, at what point do I then have to like go beyond like to like let's say harassing these people before to fight?
Leon Santa Cruz now has been ordered to fight Lee Wood.
You said that, yeah.
So but what I'm saying,
go on, carry on, sorry.
So it's more or less like, okay, listen, I talk the talk. You get me? When it's needed, when a fight is there, when I know I'm going to fight you, I'll tell you straight. I'll look you in the eye and tell you that, listen, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to knock you out. That's what I want to do.
One second, Gary, block that guy. You said Ben Oden, block him instant. We don't need comments like that on this thing here. Yeah, carry on.
So people like that be like, okay, yeah, you give me this person. And I'm going to fight him. Let the fight be announced. Because obviously, listen, people talk too much. I'm not much of a talker. I'm much more like, listen, make the fight happen and I'll meet you in the ring.
Yes. You know,
a lot of people talk so much nowadays that they talk more than they do. And I'm not really about that life. You know?
I was going to say, I definitely do not change, be anything other than yourself. You know, and I guess what you're saying with terms of the mandatories and stuff, I mean, all you can keep on doing what you're doing, just, you know, listen, I know you're a spiritual person and you just have to just believe that your day will come and, you know, they can't duck you forever if you keep on winning. So the case is just to keep winning. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
Spence. Exactly.
Yeah. Country Don has just asked, what fight has inspired you?
What fight has inspired me?
Yes, sir.
You know, when I was, you know, Muhammad Ali, obviously, because growing up, all you hear about is Muhammad Ali. Nigel Benn, because I grew up in the UK, and Chris Eubank, Ricky Hatton, those were the people that were really out there. And so later on, when I was growing up more and more, I started watching a bit more people. Even Uncle Spence even told me to be watching this guy, Mildred Taylor.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And that was a guy that I used to watch.
Wow. A lot. I told you that about 10 years ago, brother. I'm surprised you remember.
Yeah. You know, so I don't really have like, I try to watch as many people as I can, you know.
So my thing is this. You've named every fighter from every horizon, but I don't hear you mention Ike Quarte. I don't hear you mention Azumi Nelson.
That's what I'm saying.
And these guys, especially Isaac, for jab, Ike Quarte had one of the best jabs ever in the sport of boxing.
That's what I'm saying. Growing up, you know, I didn't land, Uncle. I did not land. I said, and then moving on from that point onwards, me going back to Ghana, meeting these people, Now, watching them, you know, my father trained me based on like people like James Toney and Azuma Nelson. You know, okay, now these Azuma Nelson's like, when you speak of Africa, he arguably like the best in the whole of Africa.
He's the greatest ever fighter to come out.
You know,
the greatest ever.
So I watch Azuma Nelson a lot. You know, I watch Akote a lot. The rest of the people, it's more or less like inspiration. You know what? They've been there, they've done it. So although I have a good relationship with everybody else, but styles make fight.
Do you know the Uber driver that fought Ryan Garcia last night?
Uncle's trying to get me into trouble right now, man.
Wait there, Isaac though. You know that man's about 70 years old, you know.
No. Uncle,
this man looked like he was running away from trophy.
Uncle, listen, yeah. I've had history with this guy. You know, like I said, I'm not really a vocal person.
Yes. Me being
in Ghana, I've come across a lot of, not many, but a few people who put up a facade. You know, they put up a facade. They'll go on TV, on radio, and things like that, and talk rubbish about you. And they'll go even as far as saying that on live TV that, yo, when I see this guy on the road, I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to fight him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And yet when they see you, they put their head down and walk by you, walk past you.
Yes.
You know, I can't rate people like that.
Yes.
You know.
So basically, you're talking about Game Boy.
I'm talking about, he's a footballer's boxer. You know, that's what, Game you know Boy. What? I don't even want to call his name. Listen, that's the thing. Because the thing is this. Me being in Ghana, I keep myself to myself.
Good. Right?
But Isaac, I remember the beef between you two, you know, a few years ago. And I remember.
That's what happened. That was the reason.
Yeah.
That was the reason.
Isaac said, I won't even call your name.
With him chatting crap, you know?
Oh, it's the same Game Boy.
Game Boy's batteries run out to Tintin.
You know, it's crazy because some of these guys, yeah, it's like they think that, okay, it's so easy to come here, you fight in America and everything, so it's calm, just like that. You know, he's been around like since 2004. That's when he turned pro.
Okay. You know,
I turned pro in 2013 or 2014, yes, 10 years after. You can't compare yourself with me, and I'm not saying I'm Mayweather.
No, but I am
Isaac Dugbe. You get me?
Yes.
I am Isaac Dugbe. I have achieved a few in boxing, you know, and still going on.
There's
I don't hate nobody. Is it better?
Yes.
I don't hate on nobody. If someone is doing something, I'll be like, yo, at least you're doing your best. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I wish you well. You go ahead and do your thing. You get me? I will not go there if I don't have nothing nice to say to you. I don't go anywhere. I will not be on any platform trying to bash you or anything whatsoever.
Yes.
You know, like I said, I keep it cool. You know?
I totally respect but that.
For somebody to go to that extent to chat crap about me, you know, talk rubbish and everything else, and yet you see me in public and you be like, now you're like, oh, hey, hello, champ. Hey, what's going on, champ? Nah. It's not going to work. You know, obviously, I have already expressed publicly my dislike for this guy. You know,
You see, I didn't
I publicly, you know, say I don't like this guy, you know, but he should really thank his God, you know, that I'm a sort of person that I keep a cool head, you know, that's me. That's the difference between
us. As I said, I've known you for such a long time, and your vibes have always been positive, hence why you're on this show. And, you know, that's the way to be at the end of the day, you know. You just have to let people be who they are, but and never let it change your character, you know, because if you engage in negativity, you become negative. So being the way you are is the way. It is the right way, and you're setting a great example. It does not deter from the fact that this guy was running around the ring like he was chasing after Trophy and Banku.
So I'm going to be real, yeah? I'm not saying that. But...
Man, hold on. I thought the man was doing a Olympics running in the ring. I'm like, oh, nah. And, you know, he looked like a true village man from Africa. He's bruv. He looked like he just came over on the fresh boat with chewing stick.
I take myself out of that conversation.
You leave that to me. You leave that to Uncle. You leave the jokes to me. That's what I'm here for. That's me. Jokes aside, I feel if he put up a fight, there was times he actually hit Garcia, but he just was scared, Spencer. I don't know what you thought about that.
Ton, I told you. When I watched it this morning, and that's when I phoned you. I said, you know what? This guy, man's a blinking disgrace, you know?
He's
a blinking disgrace. I don't think he's ever come out of Ghana before. I think the flight and the trip to come to America to eat two American burgers or to go to McDonald's, right? It must have been just happy and over the blinking moon, I had a Big Mac, right? And not only that, the brother just looked old.
He's trying to say that he lied about his passport. That's what you're trying to say.
He lied. He lied vicious.
Listen, uncle.
I know that man's about 50. I'm telling you that now. That man's 50. I know that man's older than me. I'm 48. I know he's older than me.
Uncle Spence. You know what, yeah? You know, one thing I've learned is that when a man is down, yeah? Let's not kick him. Let's leave him.
I hear what you're saying, and I would like to agree with you, but I can't agree with you. If the man had put up some form of a fight, props to him. That he went and tried a thing.
Yeah.
The brother was overawed, he was starstruck. You know what I mean? And he just disgraced his village. I don't even know what village come from.
But, all right, let's be positive. At the end of the day, he got a dream fight, and that's the positive side of it. You know, not many people, because he must have been paid well, or maybe not.
Like back in, there's something that I used to struggle to understand, and this was what my little brothers used to always say. They used to say that this is what their teachers told them. I think when they were in school, like primary school or something, they'll have a sports day. And then sometimes, if they don't do so well, they'll be like, well, I didn't win, but then my teacher said that it's not the winning that matters, it's taking part that counts.
Nonsense. Like,
no, it's not the taking part that counts.
Nonsense. All we do is win.
Look, the country telling me to allow the man. I know his country's cousin, you know. I know it's from. I know that man's from country, that village.
Let me tell you,
village.
That is a defeatist mindset. It's not the taking part that matters. It's the winning that matters.
It's either you're in it or you are not.
Your ambition is competition.
You're either in it or you're not.
Thank you, Diana Jones, for $5. She says, when she was in high school years ago, one of my mates lived next to Simon Brown, who was a top five fighter from out of Jamaica. Tank stops Ryan Garcia. Absolutely.
Yeah. Massive big up to the two-weight world champion, Simon Brown, waterweight Simon Brown, who was out of Clarendon, Jamaica, where my dad was born. He was a fantastic, but this is the thing that I just heard recently. That's mad that you just mentioned that, Dinah, because I was just speaking to Tundi the other day about Simon Brown.
Yes.
Simon Brown, when he was competing as a professional fighter, yeah, when he became world champion, he was 38 years old. Right? On his thing, it said that he was 26, but he was 30. Seriously.
So what are you trying to say, Mr. Togo? No, but you know what? I was looking at Togo's record, and it's quite good. He only lost his debut, and then obviously he's been matched very well. And you know,
listen,
but it wasn't a good. You know, if he went out on the shield,
listen. I was in Ghana, yeah.
Yes.
There are a lot of things that I wouldn't talk about here.
Yes.
But to simply put it. It isn't what it seems always.
Yeah. What you think you're telling me anything? I'm an uncle in this thing. That's why you're calling me uncle.
It isn't what it seems always, you know. I know the business of boxing. I know Kick a man's ass is down. Listen, let's just assume that. Listen, now he's got his money. He can do something good. You know, with it,
yes,
for the time being, he can look after himself. But when it comes to boxing, you know, he just needs to pick his words proper, because there are some people who actually do it just beyond the money. You know, we do it for something different. You get me? Everybody wants the money. Yeah.
Yes.
But beyond the money, there's something which is much more greater. That is that glory. You know. For people to look at you and say that, you know what, because of you, because of what you did, I was inspired to pick up this cross, or inspired to pick up these gloves to do this. You know, that's the difference between some of us and some other people out there.
Well, you know, I must say that, as well as being impressed with your achievements thus far in boxing, I'm very impressed with your outlook and your perspective on life at, again, I repeat, such a young age. But, you know, listen, this is the kind of examples that I like for people to see and hear, especially when it comes to our sport of boxing, because, you know, a lot of people, and you know what, everybody plays their part. That's one thing I never lose sight of. You know, everybody can't be good in this thing here. You understand?
Yeah.
There has to be a villain. There has to be people that play the bad man, or the people that people don't like. You know, but we all know when the cameras switch off, everyone ain't like that.
Who's going to fold and who's going to stand?
we know we're like that. But credit to you again, Isaac. Spence?
Isaac, simple thing, because I'm going to my bed in a minute, right? If you had a message to give out to Lee Wood, what would the message be, Isaac?
Not only Lee Wood.
No, wait there. Lee Wood first. I'm going to go in the order. Message for Lee Wood.
You should come and see me, man. They should answer the call. We want to talk to them. They should make it happen. Yes. You know? As a dogbit is still very relevant. And the reason why I'm relevant is because of what I have done.
Yes.
Some people, when they lose, you know what? Like, their stock comes down. You know? I lost two fights in a row to the same person, but I still remain relevant. Lee Wood and Isaac Dogbit will be a huge fight in the UK. anywhere in the world. We should make it happen. We can even take it to Ghana too. Yeah, regardless, wherever he wants it, I will come there. You know, I haven't been afraid to travel. I'll go anywhere, you know, to fight him, you know.
If you had a message for Josh Warrington, what would that message be?
Josh Warrington, he's some sort of a firecracker, and I like it, you know. I like the way he fights, you know. In fact, I love it, you know, because it'll be an action throughout, you know. That's the kind of guy that I want to get in there with him. No disrespect, he's achieved. He's done so well for himself, you know. He's a proven warrior, and I would love to mix it up with him, you know. Until the fight, as a Dugbe, I don't think, you know, they've really done anything well, you know. They're only fighting old people. Kiko Martinez won a title. I don't really believe in flukes, but hey, the best man won on the night. He came back and beat Kiko Martinez. But listen, you should come and fight a live dog, someone who's willing to take him to the whole night.
So would this mean that you'll be prepared to come back to the UK? Because we haven't seen you here in a long time.
Uncle Spence, I haven't had no pro fight in the UK.
This is what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah, I'm saying.
But before you go, whose idea was it to, you know, to get your career started and to this day in the US?
The visa government.
No, he was born in the UK.
No.
He was born in the UK.
No, I wasn't born in the UK. I was born in Ghana. But you see, after I was signed to an American management company, you know, so they moved me from the UK to America, you know, and from then we went to Ghana, and it was like, okay, boxing had died down completely. You know, people were not even recognized. BoxTrack were not even recording the boxing shows when people fight, you know, and by the special grace of God and by the, you know, great people that we had, we're able to change that, you know, to kind of like start up a cleanup process, you know, and eventually BoxTrack started recognizing Ghana fighters again, you know, and now, boom, after about a decade or more, I won a world title, and the name Ghana started going around again. And now, eventually, people are paying attention to Ghana boxing. Hence the reason why now some of the big, big promoters will come to Ghana, look at the people that, you know, who look good on paper, and give them fights from Ghana.
Yes, yes.
You know? So I can say that myself and my team, we have contributed hugely to the sports of boxing in Ghana.
Come on.
You know? So, I mean...
I've just recently heard that Mickey Bay will be fighting
Tevin Farmer. Yeah, he's fighting in Ghana.
Yep.
I spoke to Mickey. Mm-hmm. Yes, in May. I spoke to Mickey Bay about that fight. Mickey Bay said he's coming on the show. I got Tevin Farmer's phone number. I ain't spoken to him in ages, but I'm going to get both of them on that because they were the general thing. Who, do you know what promotional company in Ghana is putting on that show?
I'm not too sure, but I think I may know a gentleman who might be partnering with a promoter in Ghana to make the fight possible. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. There was something I was gonna say. Spence, carry on.
Yeah, because I'll be looking forward to that fight. Even though like Mickey Bay's back. I see him doing his bit of training. Like he said, like he knows he's got a few more fights left him. And I think the thing that's giving him the motivation is that he lost a close fight. He lost a close fight to Kambosis. So he's thinking to himself, well, and he told me by his own admissions, he said that he didn't even train for that fight. He just came in just to do his bits. So, and he said he was more, you know, hurt by the dramas that was going on in the Floyd camp with his his with the management side and stuff. So his mind weren't really on it. So he thinks, right, that was what, nearly four years ago now. So he's saying he wants to go give it another shot, give it another try, and see what's going on. And you know what? And the Tevin Farmer fight, it's a good fight because Tevin Farmer is not renowned as a hard hitter or a puncher. He's a skill star. It will be a good fight. But when you're getting long in the tooth, like Mickey Bay, the Spirit is, it's difficult to keep off skillsters. But it's going to be an interesting fight because Tevin Farmer's lost his world title. So I'm interested in that fight. And I'm glad that boxing, like, of that kind of caliber is down in Ghana. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
But you see, that was the goal. You know, if you had listened to some of my previous interviews from like back in the day, like a few years back, we laid out a plan that, listen, in the near future, we want to have big fights. We want to attract the international bodies to hold big fights in Ghana. Because Ghana is a boxing nation. The people love boxing to bits. We have, you know, the stadiums and arenas, you know, to put up these shows. You know, all it is that the right people have to be, you know, have to put it together. The right people have to get on board. The corporate Ghana has to get on board. People have to get on board because there's so much talent in Ghana as well. You know, crazily enough, there's so much talent there. But it's just that they don't know how to utilize it or they don't know how to bring that talent out. You know, rather people try to exploit it in a negative way. You know, and when I say that, I mean, excuse me to say, but it's like, it's more or less like, okay, let us build a fighter up and later on, let's go sell him. You know?
When they could keep him.
It don't make sense. Exactly. It don't make sense to do it that way. What makes sense? Look, let's build a fighter up. When it goes well for him, it goes well for us. Because if you look after someone properly, you attract other customers. You know, in the long run. But if you think about the short term, then who is going to want to be with you? Nobody. You see, but that's the thing that most people don't have. And they don't really understand it that way. That, listen, okay, I have this fighter. I'm going to work with this guy, push him to the best way I can. When, God willing, he becomes a world champion, I know other people are also going to come. Because already I'm establishing a stable of fighters or you know, something. And this is what this person will be the star attraction for other people to follow. You know, but hey, to each man and his own, you know, so someone we can only, you know.
What fights are you looking forward to coming up?
Fights I'm looking forward to, I think Canelo and Bivol.
Good fight.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm also looking forward to Kambosos and Haney.
And as you say that, I just got off the phone to Bill, Dev's dad, you know, because we all come up together. We was cracking some jokes which I can't repeat on air, but Bill Haney will be joining us next week live on The Fight Is Right
next week.
We change it because I didn't want to do, because Monday is not our day. We want to keep the thing running. So we got the Spence Ugas fight on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a big fight.
Ugas. So it will all.
Wait, what station is that going to be on? That's going to be on that fight app.
That's Showtime.
Yeah, but it's going to be on that fight app.
Is it? I'm not so sure. But anyway,
it will be.
Bill could have come on tomorrow, but I just think, you know, Monday's not a good day. Everybody starts back work and you know, people are getting ready to attack the... Oh, Gary's just done the posters for next week's show. Bill Haney live on The Fight Is Right. But that is going to be a great fight. And, you know, listen, people can say what they want about Dev and his dad. They've done it in a unique way. And they got the biggest fight. You know, they're not scared. They're going out to Australia. And what history is going to be made is just unbelievable. But yes, like
Who you got in that fight, Isaac? Who do you think is going to win that fight, Isaac?
You know what, yeah? Uncle Spence made the best man win.
This is what I love about this boy, though. He's so political, so polite. And God bless you, Isaac. It has been great having you.
Yes, Isaac. We're going to be chopping up some of this now.
Yeah, Isaac's frozen at the moment.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I said it's been great having you on the show. I wasn't supposed to be here.
No, I'm glad you were. I told you I'd be sleeping right now.
Come on, energy goes.
I'll be sleeping. I will be we can't hear you now, Isaac. We can't hear you, champ.
Isaac.
Can you hear me?
Hello, Isaac. Yeah, we can hear you now, champ.
Hello. He was them old black and white movies, you know, with no sound. But yeah,
I think it will be a good fight, a really good fight, because Haney is a boxer, you know.
Yes,
Haney is a really good boxer when it comes to pure boxing. But then, is he going to be able to stay disciplined throughout the whole 12 rounds?
Yes,
you know, because Kambosos comes with pressure, you know, and he brings out the dog in a fight.
Absolutely.
You know, so absolutely. And he can bang too.
Yes, sir.
He can bang. So let's see. I mean, like I said, may the best man win.
We can't let you go without giving your take on the Gypsy King versus our man from South London, Brixton, the one, the only Dylan, the body snatcher. We call him the Portuguese criminal now. The Portuguese puncher, not body snatcher, the Portuguese puncher. That is going to be a great fight. Am I wrong in saying that, Isaac?
Nah, you are not wrong. You know what? I believe it's going to be a great fight too. And again, may the best man win. You know what? Dylan is like a big brother to me. You know, we used to train together at the Miguel's gym. He's been like, you know, one of them guys when I was growing up. You know, he's always there. We used to always see him, you know, see him around. So, I mean, it's like a family to me. You know, it's one of those guys. But listen, may the best man win. When he wins, that's a big thing for him. And I didn't say if he wins. I said when he wins.
Well, then you've just given us the answer that we were looking for.
It will be massive for him. Nah, listen. You can't say if, because look, it's heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, so then you can say if.
It's heavyweight boxing. Anything can happen. Nobody expected Otto Wallen to go the full rounds of the Gypsy King.
I didn't know something.
He gave him a tough time, but you know what? The Gypsy King is always a Gypsy King. He showed heart. He showed relentlessness. And he showed out. You know, again, he came to America. He fought Wilder on 3 occasions. Again, he showed out. You know, he's not someone you can sleep on. You know what I mean? So. These are the giants of boxing right now. So, may the best man win.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we have to thank the young, I don't know what to call him. He's like a pastor stroke boxer.
The punching preacher.
The punching preacher.
That name has already been taken.
Lion.
I think this guy's name. What's his name?
George Foreman.
Derek Osia.
Yeah, Derek. Yeah.
He's got that as well.
Yeah.
The punching preacher.
We're just cool with Isaac Dogbo, Zion Dogbo. We're cool with that. That's the
Royal Storm. The Royal Storm.
Love it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure having the young man with us today. myself, I know I can speak for the Spencer on this occasion. We wish you nothing but the absolute best.
Rest 1,000,000%.
Rest up, champ, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much for jumping on the fight. It's right, my brother. I love Isaac.
Thank you so much. And don't forget, yeah, like I said, Santa Cruz, Josh Warrington, Lee Wood, Mark Maxayo, yeah, they know where to find me, man.
Let's go. Let's go.
They know where to find me. Naho.
Yeah.
Naho. 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 All right, boss. Yeah, you take care. Yeah?
Take care, brother.
Bye-bye.
Spence, you, bro, if I didn't come with this thing out, you would 100% be in bed, right? I'm not even supposed to be.
Bro, listen to me. You can't tell me about your little foolish talk about, oh, yeah, chat, I'm still on vacation. I know you're in your house, about your own rest. Tundi, if you know how sleep is bad, I don't think you understand.
Energy.
Like, if I was to show you my garden, yeah, for 3.5 hours, I was weeding. I felt like I was on some plantation to rot it. I was digging up the ground.
You said weed.
Now, weeding the bushes, putting down weed killer, moving out things. Because I bought a new garden set, like for when we had barbecues and that in the back. So I was doing that. Tundi, when I started, I must have started about 4 o'clock. When I look at my watch, it was something to eat. I said, routed. So, you boy,
you're getting old.
Yeah, for real. And then I broke my fast. You know what I mean? Broke my fast at my dinner. And I said, right, you know what? Tony's jumping on this thing. And then Gary was like, yeah, we doing the thing, Spence. And I said, Tony, you do it. Tony's back. He's on vacation. I said, no, I'm just going to do it anyway. So thank you, Tony, so much coming on today. Because sleep is, what I mean, it's burning me on another level. It's burning me. So, you know what I mean? But I said consistency because
your brother fooling, you have to help your brother.
But Dundee, I was dropping asleep, you know.
Bro, Gary phoned me. He said, I beg you, look at the thing. And Gary said, bro, please, come on. Because Spencer's falling asleep right there. I don't want to tell you what else Gary said. Because, bro, Isaac just left. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, remember, next week, Sunday, next week, Saturday, me and Spencer will be, I'll be back for that, for the watch along, Spence v. Ugas. That's
going to be a big one.
Incredible fight.
We just got to find out what channel that's going to be on.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Showtime. It's Showtime
pay
per view.
Yeah, it's on Showtime, but it might be. I know Sky won't have that fight.
No, Showtime pay per view. Showtime.
Yeah. Oh, Showtime pay per view.
Yeah. And then also.
Yeah, but so you know the fight app. You know that fight app. Maybe they'll be doing it on that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'll double check.
Yeah, and then, on Sunday, which Gary's going to put the poster out now. We're going to put it on all the social channels. Bill Haney will be with us next Sunday discussing the mega fight with his son, Dev. What an achievement just to even be on that platform. Fighting in Melbourne, Australia, in an incredible stadium.
Sorry, I told you. What about me, as I said, Showtime is on Fight TV in the UK. I've got that app, so I'm going to buy that fight.
Yes.
I think it'd be about £10 to go watch that fight.
Yeah, I've got that.
Yeah, I know you got it. So I'm definitely doing a live from there. I'm looking forward to that fight. But not only that, because it's going to give us a better indication of Errol Spence's standing, because since the car crash, he had no stoppage wins.
Yeah, I just watched the second episode of All Access tonight, Spence Ugas, and
is it good?
Spence is on. He's ready. He's ready.
Well, after the fight, we'll get Derek James, because I've been speaking to him regularly. He's a nice brother. You know what I mean, lovely guy, and he watches the show. So I was like, rah. You know what I mean? So we gotta get him on. I mean, we've got to get him on.
Get Errol as well, man. Listen, you know, Errol's family as well.
So yeah, man.
You never know. know we could get Errol in, but I know.
He's got to win this fight. This fight's not a foregone conclusion. I want man to realize it.
I mean, especially when you hear Ugas' story, the guy really has come. You know, not many people have lost three times. You know, he took a couple of years out of boxing. He was not going to box, but he didn't know what to do. He was literally homeless. And the guy has worked his way back up. Man beat the legend in Manny Pacquiao. And he stands to be the first Cuban ever to unify titles. There's a lot on the line. You know, going to be a great fight. And I'm looking forward to commentating that. And we cannot go without touching on this boy, Sebastian Fondora. God almighty.
Tundi.
Bro, listen.
He's from Fantastic Four. He's Mr. Stretcho.
He's Plastic Man. Anybody in that division, mind for that you. But I'll be honest with you. The amount of punches he takes, he don't business to take punches.
He clapped at Lubin.
But he punched Eric Lubin so much. But the guy's face looked like Elephant Man afterwards. And you know what? There was a very sad part in the fight where the camera went to his dad. Yeah?
Lubin.
Lubin's dad. And his dad was just shaking his head like, fam, you need to stop this thing here. And this was all from round six. Because this Fondora, he looked like a weirdo. He just looked like a little geek. Bro, he put glasses on the interview afterwards. And his sister. He's got a sister who's 19 years old, lanky like him. She's a serious fighter. Oh, well. Yeah. Man said praying mantis. 100%.
Bro, he just looked mad.
100% is praying mantis. What a fight. What a high-paced energy fight. And credit to Lubin, because after getting dropped heavy in the second round, he come back and dropped my man. I said, yeah, this fight...
Nah, he dropped him vicious.
Oi, listen. But as he fell down, Spence, he just got back up like that and never happened. And I read the tweet that Terence Crawford said. Terence Crawford said,
"Yes, yeah."
He's like some cheap mode thing, like you know when you just picking the Street Fighter game. Bro, the guy's 6'5". The guy's bigger than the guy's the same height as Tyson Fury.
Nah, Tyson Fury's 6'7", 6'8", 6'9".
Well, not much different.
He's the same fight as Andy Josh is 6'6". He's taller than Dylan White, Twin.
Imagine. And he came in lighter than Lubin.
Yeah, Lubin man.
153.5, I think. Mad. Fondora came in 152.
Crazy.
So the guy's still coming in 2 pounds under.
Absolutely crazy.
But he's a great fighter. But I just feel that because you remember, man like Charlo banged out Lubin in two rounds, or one round.
And man like Charlo like to throw their winging left hooks to your belly. I want you to realize that.
You know, he's only a young boy. He's only 24 years young. And he's only going to get stronger. He's going to get bigger. Amazing. True. Amazing.
Who's that? Joaquim Costa said he's 6'6", brother.
Ridiculous. Amazing talent, Anna. Looking forward to watching this young man's career and his sister. His sister can swing. She's a southpaw as well. And the fact that he's coming from that southpaw stance just makes it even more difficult for fighters.
Trust me.
Great fighter. Very, very, very good fighter, Spence. So that was the Garcia fight. We didn't really touch on it, but we was more talking about the Uber driver than we actually touched on the fight. But
well, boy, good to see Golovkin back.
What was your assessment of Garcia?
If I was training a fighter, I know how to knock him out. Big up Troy Graham. If I had a fighter, I'd know how to knock out Ryan Garcia.
From four is apps is 6'5.5".
Okay, right. Yes. You mean? So yeah, I would know how a fighter would I know how to train. Troy Graham says, Brother Tundi, did you first check come from Uncle Tundi? Jollof rice. I don't understand what you're writing there. Sorry, brother. Look at the chain.
That don't make no sense, Trey.
Yeah, Trey. Trey, don't capital. You see, when I'm writing caps, you have to watch them, you know, because it says that the serial killer.
It means your own.
Yeah.
I repeat what he said, Robert Tundi, did your first check come in from Uncle Tundi, Jollof rice? Oh, look at, see, sometimes you just got to read things over and again. Because you know we was talking about doing the Jollof rice, like Uncle Ben's.
Yeah, okay.
Now, so we're going to do that though. But this chain actually came from a jeweler that I grew up with who done it for me. And God bless him. He wants to remain anonymous, so I don't really merit that. I don't really merit that much, but I'm on my vacation, so I thought I'd wear it today. Baffo Owusu says Duvante Davis beats Ryan Garcia. I think that's pretty much evident after last night's performance. But you never know. He's still young. He can evolve. And go, but I don't want to hold up Spencer anymore. He's
your no, you he's don't. Against. Thank goodness for that, because I'm going to my bed, bruv.
Do that, sir.
Yep, I'm going to my bed. In fact, I'm gonna listen to till I fall asleep. I'm gonna listen to the countdown thing for Ugas Spence,
and yeah, I'm gonna fall asleep.
Yeah, you sent it to me, yeah.
I sent it.
Yeah, send me the link. Send me the link. I'm going to watch that now. I want to thank every single person for coming in here. Please forgive me for my tiredness, but trust me, I was grafting today in the garden. And after that, and I was hungry as well. And I'm going to my bed. I need a nice, refreshing, cool drink.
Well, you're so spent because regardless of how you felt, you still kept the ball rolling. And that's why.
Yeah, I did. Because I was saying to myself, my goodness gracious. This bloody Tundi's not coming on the thing today. I felt relaxed. Yeah, if Tundi comes on, it'll just get me hype up and I'll be all right. And okay. No, man said, nah, man, I'm on Van. He sent me some flow and everything. Excuses. I said, all right, say nothing, bruv. I'm doing the thing. Tired or not, I'm doing it. Cause I know the devil will want to say, nah, don't do it. And we try to lose up momentum. But we come on, thanks to every single person that donated on the show. Thank you so much. But, right. Thank you so much to was it Dana Johnson? Thank you so much to Ben Oldham. Yeah, big up. And Tundi can end the show in this.
Dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on down, but the only thing I'm going down to is my bed. Peace, two fingers, we out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.